Attitudes, good, bad, or ugly, we all have them. Welcome to the Transform Podcast. I'm your host, Mike Powers. In today's episode, Dr. Matthew Lee Smith, Director of Eagles and Leadership, discusses one of the key attitudes that mark Jesus' disciples. Each attitude builds on the previous one, and together they form the disposition of a true child of God. Now let's open our Bibles to Matthew 5 and study one of the eight attitudes that ought to be in our lives as disciples of Jesus.
Would you be so kind, Janet, and read verse 5.
Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth.
Blessed are those who are meek. Now, when you look at meek, a lot of people find this, because it rhymes with weak, they think that's what it means. But really, meekness is power under control. Power under control. When you're meek, you understand, you comprehend your position, you simply don't use it. For this, we would remind you of Philippians 2 and verses 5 through 8. Nana, if you'd turn there, please. Philippians 2, 5 through 8.
Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in of God did not consider it robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, taking the form of a bond servant, and coming into the likeness of man. And being found in the appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, the death of the cross.
First of all, we start in 5 with the mindset. This is a mindset. Now, what is a mindset? It's what your mind is
set on.
This is a mindset. And you're supposed to have the mind of Christ in this matter. Turn to your neighbor and say, I'm supposed to have this mind. And if I have this mind, I will sow a thought. I will reap an act. And so I sow the act and I reap a habit. Sow a habit, you reap a character. And you sow a character and you reap a destiny. Now, doesn't this sound familiar?
Yes.
Especially with verse 3. It's a mindset. Now, let's talk about what this mind is set on. Philippians 2. In Philippians 2, it says in verse 6, who being in the form of God did not consider it robbery to be equal with God. Of course, you're not. But I want you to notice, position isn't the issue. 2:6. I don't care who you are. I don't care who you think you are. I don't care if you're the Son of God who happens to be what? In verse 6? Equal with the Father. We say they're homoousios in theology. They are of the same essence. They're equal. Position isn't the issue. Look at what verse 7 says. He made himself of no reputation. There you go. Reputation isn't the issue. 2:7. Some of y'all worried about your reputation. Our reputation isn't the issue. Who had the best reputation? Jesus, right? Jesus had the best reputation. That's not the issue. Take a look at verse 7 as it goes a little further. How did he make himself of no reputation? The word says, he made himself of no reputation, taking on the form of a slave. Okay? So, if position isn't the issue and reputation isn't the issue, then service is the issue. Now, technically, that's not right. Slavery is the issue. But he took upon himself the form of a doulos, a slave, a server. not the server as in a diakona, who is a deacon,
okay,
who just serves meals on wheels. That's all deacons are. They just serve meals on wheels. Acts chapter 6. But notice what he says. And being found in the appearance of a man. So, appearance isn't the issue. Because if appearance was the issue, what would he be? If appearance was the issue, what would he have looked like? He would look like God, right? If that was the issue. I'm God, here I am. But that's not the issue. So he came as a man. Okay? Then what does it say? Verse 8.
He humbled himself.
Uh-oh. So guess what? Humility is an issue. And what else? And he became obedient to the point of death, even death of the cross. So obedience to painful death is an issue. What's the mindset you need to have if you're going to be meek? It's not my position that matters. But I'm the senior supreme commander pastor. And I'm going to come in with my entourage. And I got to be dressed all up because appearance is all about it, right? Right? You see, I got a reputation around here to maintain. When in reality, what? That's not the issue. Those aren't the issues. You can tell the phony from the true. Because this, this, and this, these are the three evidences of a fake. No meekness. I have a focus on my position, a focus on my reputation, and a focus on my appearance. I am the man here. You need to recognize that. Or a woman. Folks, that's not it. What are the evidences of meekness? Here's the three evidences of meekness. The evidences of meekness is I have a service or a slave mentality to the body of Christ. Jesus didn't die for himself. Who'd he die for? Those people who, Father, forgive them. They know not what they do. You catch this? Now look, humility and obedience, these are the issues. This service of slave mentality, this humility and obedience to the point of death. You know people, they go around, they say things like this. You don't know who I am. I do know who you are. You're a loser. You're a faker. You're a phony. You're a worldling. You're a Luciferian. I do know who you are. Because my Jesus works off of three things. When I came in the room, you did not give me any water to wash my feet. It's all through the text. Loser. You see, Jesus wants you and I to comprehend, to gain an understanding that if I'm meek, I can be Lord of the universe in position and reputation. Do you not remember what I did to Pharaoh back in Egypt? You think you somebody? All I got to do is think, you're dead. And guess what? You stop breathing. I'm somebody, the Lord Jesus could say. You ain't nobody. But he didn't do that. You remember? Why did Jesus come? Why did Jesus come as a baby? Do you ever think about this? Because nobody's afraid of an infant. Now look, position, reputation, appearance, those are not the evidences of a meek attitude. You can have a position. I've watched this woman. She mops floors here.
Yeah.
I told you, I clean bathrooms in places I don't even work at.
Yeah.
But if you got to run around with a chip on your shoulder thinking you're somebody, trust me, you're not. Because those are the evidences of a fraud. That's not real Christianity. That's churchianity. The evidences of meekness are, I have this service mentality, literally in the Greek, I have this slavery mentality. If I want to be great in the kingdom of heaven, I have to be the servant of all. And if I want to be first, I have to be slave.
Yes.
That's my attitude. So I'm always looking at the chair at the end. Somebody comes in and they want me to speak. I say, sure, whatever. They want me to come in and I've had this happen. You probably had this happen too. I've had people come in and ask me to speak and nothing's set up. And so they say, can you help us set up chairs? Sure. We used to go to conferences, and I went to this one conference every time in Arizona, and the guy was disorganized class one. He was literally printing for 1,000 people. He was printing the brochures with all the workshops. We're talking like 10 pages to be assembled, folded, stapled. He was doing it that night when he was supposed to be sitting around having dinner with us. And I was just sitting there helping him put it together. But you run around, you got an attitude, you know. You don't understand who I am. I do. I do understand who you are. You work for the other side. This is the evidence. This is the evidence. Now listen, blessed are the meek. They have to have this mindset. This is where their mindset. Now listen, you don't get a character unless your mind is constantly set here. Because you sow the thought, you reap the act. You sow the act, you reap the habit. You sow the habit, you reap the character. Thank you. Sow the character, you reap the destiny. It's where your mind is set. But what's the promise? What's the promise back in Matthew chapter 5? What's the promise? He says very clearly, blessed are the meek. Why? They inherit the earth. Now, you want to know how you get more? You get more power, influence. See, remember what it is? It's power under control. What did Lucifer say to Jesus in the temptation? Just fall down and worship me. I'll give you all these kingdoms. And Jesus said, you know, that's okay, but I've already read the last chapter, and if I just hang around here for a while and I do what I'm supposed to do, I get the last chapter and I get to send your sorry butt to hell. Mm-hmm. I get the whole earth. I get everybody on the earth. And I can even send the ones I don't like down. I got it all. So thanks for the shortcut. But I'm not going to go with the shortcut. Meeks don't go with the shortcut. I go the long haul. Why the long haul? Because they might even wind up at the cross. They might get burned at the stake. They might get eaten by the lions. They might get their heads beheaded by ISIS. But that doesn't matter. You can't kill dead people. And if you came to faith in Jesus Christ through Matthew chapter 16, 24, and 25, you're already dead anyway. When that banger looked at me and he said, but this is my block. And I just smiled and I said, yeah, you don't understand, son. This ain't your block. This block belongs to the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. I happen to be his representative. He just looked at me. He finally says, you know, Padre, I think you're serious. He said, don't test me. These are my sheep. You know, the army calls themselves sheepdogs. They get between them and the flock. Okay? I'm not a sheepdog. I'm a shepherd. I got some tools. I know my position. Power under control. I'm fine. This is a mindset, power under control. But do you think I got to run around going, and just bow down, kiss my ring? You know, I'm here. Accolades, please, accolades. Come on, tell me how wonderful I am. Oh, mercy, that's not it at all. That's not why. My wife keeps asking, why do you assign all those assignments? I say, the only way people grow is when they do something. She says, yeah, but you got to grade them all. And I go, yeah, I got to read them all. And some of them are really awful at the beginning of the year. I know that. They don't know how to write, but they're getting better. So, then I hand her that stack to put in the spreadsheet. She goes, oh, man, there goes on. You've been at that for a couple days. Why? Because I want you to grow. Shoot, if I wanted to just get money, I'd just give you all good grade. I just talk for a little while, and then you let you talk for a little while, and talk for a little while, and talk for a little while, and then we just be all that, oh, why don't you just write your name on a piece of paper and read the book? We'll be good. Y'all get an A, and then we're done. If you wouldn't know anything, you'd be just as same quality that you were when you walked in the door, but you'd have a degree, and that degree wouldn't mean anything, except you were warehoused for a year. When you're meek, even though I am the pastor and I am the professor, this is Dr. Smith. What do you get out of this? The earth. Now, there's an easy way to explain this. It's influence. You know people who are constantly trying to get people to follow them? But shoot, I haven't paid this woman a thing. And she loves to be my cheerleader. It's not me, it's Christ. She's just doing what I told her to do. It's not me, it's Christ doing the work. But she loves to tell everybody how wonderful Doc is. That's influence. I don't do it because I want to be told how wonderful I am. I'm embarrassed by it. But the reality is she's excited about what God's done in her life. That's called influence. That's what happens to you. So I get those nice emails from several of you, okay? All excited about what's going on, what's going to happen, and it goes on and on. I get it. I get it. Because I learned this a long time ago. I comprehend my position. I just simply don't use it. By the way, if I use it, it's only for defense. This is a huge issue. This beatitude. It's a huge issue. But there aren't too many wretches left in the church. But I are the biggest one. Remember what Paul said? Mm-hmm. I'm the chief of all sinners. Want to know why God kept using him? He was really quite the loser. If you get rid of the shine off of Paul, he was really quite the loser. He had the nicest guy in the world in his day. The most sweet, godly, peacemaker, encourager. And he booted him out the door because he's just an argumentative, gotta be his way type guy. Who'd he boot out the door?
Barnabas.
Barnabas. When you boot Barnabas, you're in trouble. Let me tell you. If you got somebody who really believes in you when everybody else doesn't, and they go get you when everybody else thinks they shouldn't, and when they talk about you like, you know, you're the fourth person of the Trinity when they know they shouldn't, and they bring you in, and and everything goes well and swell, and then you get rid of that person, you got ego pride problems. And it was all because of John Mark. Because he was a little too young and the trip was a little too hard and his faith wasn't quite too grown. But we ain't having that loser around here no more, Barnabas. Getting rid of him. He hadn't quite got this meekness down. By the way, that isn't his only problem, but that's one of them. Later on, he said, man, I need John Mark. Imagine if John Mark would have learned from Paul. Yeah, I don't think so. Don't burn your bridges, folks. Oftentimes, the person you don't want is the only person who can help you. And if you burn that bridge, it's this meekness issue. Meekness issue. I had a guy call me up years ago, Evelyn. He said, what in the world are you calling me for? He hated me. He just hated me. I have no idea why. I couldn't figure it out to this day. He didn't like the way I did things, the way I said things. And back then I was really, you know, now I'm kind of the model of modesty and quietness and calm. But back then I was quite opinionated. So he didn't like that. He got upset. But he called me. San Diego. Called me all the way from San Diego. That was a shock. Okay. That was before cell phones. Okay. What are you calling me for? Well, I'm hearing a lot of good things about what's going on in your church, and I thought I'd find out what you're doing. That wasn't an easy call for him. I said, well, that's nice of you to say. This is all I'm doing, and it's not me, because everybody can do this. And we talked for 20, 30 minutes. Thanks. He said, I took some notes. If I got any questions, I'll call you back. Didn't need to have any callbacks. I mean, it was pretty simple. Get people to read their Bibles every day. God does all the work. Folks, he was learning some meekness, and I learned some too. You know, I didn't give him a hard time. Could have. What in the world are they calling me for? I remember the last time we got together. In fact, I remember what you said to about 19 people about me in public with a real loud voice. I didn't have to go there. I don't have to go there. I don't have to do that. Being reviled, we bless. Meekness. Meekness. This is the big issue. You can identify yourself. Am I a phony or am I the real thing? How do I know? If I'm about position and my reputation and my appearance, then I'm a phony. If I'm about serving people, even to the point of slavery, if I'm about humility, setting myself down in a situation, if I'm about obedience. I remember a friend of mine, when it was talking about humility, he was asked to speak, and then they asked for another person to speak. And so they literally bumped my friend out of his speaking sight. And he's got meekness down. He said, that's fine. That's okay. Whatever. Okay? And so he just said, that's fine. And then The conference was going on, and he didn't have anything to do. He was only supposed to speak that one slide. It was fine. And they kept apologizing, you know, yeah, but so-and-so's here, and we want to make sure he had. That's fine. It's okay. The last guy got sick and went home. He got to do cleanup. Now listen, at a conference, if everything's going well, there's no better position than batting cleanup. And sure enough, he did. And people who'd never seen him before actually came that day. And his book sales went like this. And he started getting invited to all sorts of different conferences he would have never gotten invited to, because he was one of the early guys, the what we call the warm-up crew. Okay, I'm telling you, just trust God and be meek. It's not about being weak. It's just simply being power under control.
And with that last word, Dr. Smith wraps up today's episode of the Transformed Podcast. Would you consider leaving a comment on the website, sharing your thoughts about the podcast today? And have you considered diving deeper into God's Word so you might know Him better? This year, let us suggest giving yourself the gift that gives every day of the new year. Dr. Smith has written 2 daily devotionals that cover every day of the coming year, allowing you to give the gift that keeps on giving, God's Word and His encouragement, into the lives of your family and friends. In His Presence is a detailed look at walking with God through life's ups and downs, built around the premise that God welcomes you into His presence with joy and pleasure. In His Presence helps you see that the life of abundance can only be enjoyed when we take everything to the Lord and walk every day at His right hand. In His Image explores God's great love for humanity from every book of the Bible, from the creation of Genesis to the culmination in Revelation. God's love shines through every page, and never is this ever clearer than in the times of Israel's great betrayal of their God. His passionate pursuit of His children can be heard dripping from His voice as He calls them, and us by proxy, back to His shelter and protection. You can order a copy of In His Image or In His Presence from Amazon at the Eagles in Leadership website by clicking the appropriate link at the right-hand side panel of the Eagles in Leadership website. Today's episode was recorded live and edited by Ryan Longsworth in Hawthorne, California. And now until next time, we are praying that you would be filled with the love of God so that you can demonstrate His love to the lost and dying in your city. God bless.